3, 2, 1. That's right. You're listening to the It's My Time podcast, a recording of the experiences, past and present, of everyday people.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
and now, here's your host,
you know who it is,
the one, the only,
let's go.
Let's Asher Chua.
Hey, welcome to the podcast, Emmanuel.
Wow. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, man. Nice to see you. Nice to kind of get with you, man, and catch up.
Likewise. It's funny. You're talking about me going all over the place. It seems like I had to move further away from you across the state just to be able to reconnect over Zoom.
Right. I said, man, you every time I talk to you, like checking up on you, I'll be like, oh, you're here now. Now you're here now. Even today, like, you're here now, right?
Yeah.
Man, I'm somewhere different now. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, nice.
I was promoted during the pandemic 2 years ago. And it probably was the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. Because it was just me and my wife and my kids. And it was good that we could just rely on one another. But it was very, very difficult. But I've grown so much. And I really starting to find my ground on who I am and what are my next steps, right?
That's what's up.
You know, I'm a team manager at T-Mobile. But, you know, as I explained to my wife, like, I'm not free, right? I'm not free.
What do you mean?
And, you know, ET talk about it all the time, right? I don't have the freedom to, you know, say, let's go to Puerto Rico or let's go here or let's go there. Even though I have people that work for me now, I still don't have that freedom. So now I'm in a space of working my way out of the company, right? Have a plan in place now and working my way out of the company. And so I can be free and really be able to enjoy my kids, enjoy my wife. I knew it was time when I started going to work this past year, and I was like, I always miss my wife, but I was like, dang, I miss my wife. Like, I should be with her doing this, you know, making, you know, trying to make money doing this, but I'm in here, right? So I knew that was time. But a lot of that came from, man, like me really getting my life with God. Like, that's what it started. I started with, right. Getting delivered, and really tapping into who I was, and getting into the right, leadership group as far as church. My pastors, Chris Washington and Sharman Washington, they have really like transformed like my life, and my wife's life and my kids' life, to now we are in a space where things are starting to mature to where I can start preparing and get out of the company. And I never seen it. Never felt like it could happen. But with, you know, God and the right leadership around you, I've started to get out, starting to work my way out of the corporate world. Don't get me wrong, there are some perks in the corporate world, and you know I've met some great people in the corporate world, man, but I want my freedom. I want to get out here and really, you know, be able to touch people and like help change people's lives and really pour into people. Like, I have the ability to do that now because of the people I have work for me, but I want to be able to do it on my terms, on my time, not on somebody else's time, and not with all these restrictions, right? Because I can't talk about God or the Bible in case they bring it up, and then I have freedom, right? So if I own my own business, though, I can, you know, when you come in, I'm able to minister to you.
That's what's up, man. For anyone who doesn't know you, who do you say you are?
First, a man of God. And second, I'm a husband. Third, I'm a dad and fifth, I'm a kingdom worker, right? I serve the community as much as I can. I try to help and, you know, and do everything I can within the community to try to make sure that I'm a vessel of like touching other people and freeing other people up. Like I think that's our biggest job, man, is like freeing other people up. Like, even though I, you know, we laugh about you, you know, being, you know, here, you're free.
Yeah.
You know, you're free, right? And that's where I'm trying to be, right?
Yeah.
Free. And that's who I am.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, freedom's definitely one of those things where I guess it comes in different respects for me. It's been one of those things where I had to free my mind mentally. And I've spoken to a lot of people, especially that we know from Brief University and Men's Call and different things like that, where a lot of people are more entrepreneurial, which I think is a great thing. But for me, having a background in engineering and working closer to 9 to 5, or maybe sometimes it's 6 to 8, or just standard hours, but kind of broad hours. It's like there is a freedom in having somewhere to be, but also there is a freedom in having an understanding of my role and knowing how to value that. So to your point, it's like the opportunities I've had have afforded me to go to different locations and different places. And I'm glad to see that you're finding that for yourself, but you're not just jumping out and hoping to grow wings as you fall down, but you're like, no, I'm making a plan. Here's a proper exit and putting the places in order to transition from point A to point B.
That's it, man. My wife right now, she has her nonprofit organization called RAP.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to help teen girls and moms
mm-hmm.
that may get, you know, kids nowadays, they don't get pregnant early. But mm-hmm. so she's in the lane where because my daughters are, you know, all of them have graduated. So she's in a lane now where she can help mothers with teens and kind of give them advice. And she mm-hmm. has a prayer group that she does like every other Thursday. And she also like does like inspirational t-shirts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of with me, I'm really getting to the nutrition side. I'm really getting back to like my granular part of, you know, being like playing football. And I do like the nutrition drinks where you drink the nutrition drinks before you go into the gym. It gives you the energy, gives you the mental focus to get through your day. And that's what I'm leaning on. And maybe one day to open up a storefront and be able to sell those through Herbalife. So I can be free, man. And be able to, you know, if I say, hey, babe, let's go to Destin, Florida today, right? I could just go, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for people like you, though, and people like the BU family, right? Because they kind of paved the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about in the BU family was, you know, I was in Augusta, so it wasn't a lot. You were like the only one in Augusta. A lot of people were in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then I had, you know, I have kids, so it was kind of hard for me to always get out, right?
Yeah.
So now to see how everybody in the BU family is moving around and kind of, you know, everybody's embracing the entrepreneur life.
Mm-hmm.
Then actually get around some leaders like my pastors that are entrepreneurs full time, and mm-hmm. they, you know, they watch ET and they've met ET, and they're embracing it. For the first time, I was able to touch someone that was part of the entrepreneur life, and that's
awesome.
What really kind of started to open my mind up and started to renew my mind. Like mm-hmm. renewed to free my mind of that this is the way it's supposed to be, to get out in the entrepreneurial world and be able to do some things that God has called you to do.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And I guess to your point, it's that like actually being able to have someone locally that you can touch, see, like be around, it's like that helps, because it's like the virtual, it goes a long way, especially if you haven't had it, but like being in the presence of someone is very, very much helpful. So I'm glad you found that. That's awesome.
It's been a journey, man. It's really been a journey, and I thank God that I have the ability now to see it. Like you said, like you said a few minutes ago, like my mind is finally free, right?
Yeah.
And when your mind becomes free, then you start to exploring those possibilities of, oh, I can. Oh, I don't have to be like, I don't have to get up and go to do this every single day, just like
Right.
this every single. So yeah,
Yeah.
that is true.
I think one of the quotes from Harriet Tubman that I think E.T. had quoted when went to see him in Boston. And I remember like one of his business partners, I think Josh Hatch, he's like 7 foot. And he basically like a 7 foot white guy, but he's a great guy. But he made the comparison of comparing him to Harriet Tubman, like where she has the quote that says, "I freed 1,000 slaves, but I could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves." And I think that speaks to the power of like really understanding what you have going on in your mind and like what you're trained to do and versus what you have the ability to do and knowing what's available to you, because it's like, I guess, again, freedom could be one of those things where it can, you can think it's one thing, but then it gives you something else. Because like with freedom, it's like sometimes it's comfortable not being free because restrictions kind of give you a parameter of like, okay, I can operate in this little area here. But now when you've got the freedom to go wherever, it's like it's on you now to kind of direct where you want to go, because you don't want to just be aimless in your pursuits. But knowing that you have the ability and the potential to just go as you please, like that, that's something that's like a weight off your shoulder, I think, to your point. And you're not having to like, can't do that, can't do this, can't do that. And it's like, man, it's a hard way to live.
It is, man. I like, so currently I have like 52 people that wrote to me, right? So my phone rings all the time, right? And my wife, she's like, come on, like, what are we doing? Like, why is your phone ring? Where are your leaders?
Yeah.
But that I want to tie that back to me going to the 360 Man Conference a year and a half ago. It was some things as a man that I had to clean up, right? Mm. That I had to own up to. And I had to kind of double down and say, hey, man, it's time to get your life right with God. And it's time for you to lead the right way. And E.T. said some things in that conference that really ignited something in me. And when he ignited the fire, I was able to get around my leaders that I'm around now and be open to it, right? And be open to the change, be open to being not like the world, but being of God and being different, right? Because I think a lot of the times as a black man, we sometimes fall to the culture, right?
Yeah.
We fall to, you know, the music that we listen to. We fall to a lot of the, you know, well, my cousin did this and this is just who I am.
Yeah.
It made me really get into my mind and say, no, I have the ability to be different and break these curses on my bloodline and free my kids up. So that conference, man, it was kind of like the igniter, because that was my first conference. Like, I did all the, I don't did a lot of virtuals,
right?
But I could, because I have so many kids, man. I could never get on a plane, right?
Right.
But
you,
I was
picked
able
the right
to get
one.
The Atlanta
the right one.
Yeah, the Atlanta one, man. And my wife was there with me. And I remember sitting there and watching, like, my wife can tell it was like that comfort was changing me. And I look over at her and I can see her crying, because she knew, like, okay, something's about to shake, right? He's about to shift. And ever since then, like, we married. So do we still have our ups and our downs? Yes, we do. But ever since then, she can see, like, okay, he is really serious about trying to live the kingdom way, right? And just walking it out, because I think so many times, it's been like E.T. said, like, we talk about Christians and how Christians are supposed to act and how we're supposed to represent ourselves. But sometimes we're the ones that lack the most. We're the ones that, you know, that are walking around here cussing out people. No, when I walk in a room, I'm supposed to be able, people, feel, like E.T. say, like, people are supposed to feel the Holy Ghost. People are supposed to feel the anointing on me when I walk in, and and people are supposed to be blessed when I walk out the room. And to get into that role, man, will I say it's a lot of work to get into that space and to stay in that space? It is, but it's so much, like, it's free, freedom. It's so much freedom on this side. Like,
yeah.
I don't stay up all night worrying and stressing anymore. Like, because I know God is the head of my life, and I lay in that, and I really like submit myself into that.
Yeah. I'm curious what, tell me a little bit more about the 360 Man Conference, because when it was coming up, I was hearing about it, but I was at, like, with all the traveling that I've done in the past and kind of thinking about going to conferences, going to different cities and things like that, I felt I needed to step back. I believe it was it 2021 maybe, or 2022? Maybe it was
It was
2022.
2022 of May.
Okay,
it was the
right.
day before my birthday.
Nice. So, belated happy birthday.
Thank
Long
you.
belated.
Right, right, right.
But something about that time, I'm curious for you to tell me more about it, because I decided more so recently that I would cut back on all my group interactions and, like, constantly going to conferences and listening to messages where I was getting this information constipation and I wasn't doing anything with what I was receiving. I was like, this is good information. And this is something that I got from one of our, like, the personalized BU calls, but, like, I pulled back from that. I pulled back from the morning meetup or sleepless nights. That was more entrepreneurial directed. But even from the prayer line, like, I pulled back from that in 2022 and just over time to where I needed to see a little bit more of myself, because being in all of these activities, I think I validated all the people in the activities more so than me. And I forgot that, like, okay, I still have a place in the world, and I need to acknowledge that even in a conversation with you, Asher's still present. And it's not just, oh, hey, had a great conversation with Emmanuel, on to the next one, on to the next one, on to the next one. It's like, where are you running to?
Right.
But, like, what, tell me about the conference. Like, what was it for you? Like, especially being your first one, being there in the room with E.T., with Deion Sanders, with a few of the other guys. I think Ed Milet, you had BK in the building. You had, like,
BK,
a whole bunch of brothers and all the bunch of people.
Yeah. Man, they really, like, in that conference, man, that really was the beginning of, it was time for me to be a man, right? A kingdom man, not just a man, but in that conference, that was the time for me to be a kingdom man, right? And that's just a year and a half. My life has changed so much in that year and a half. Is it perfect? No. Is it still some things that I have to clean up and do to, you know, to erase those 8-9 years of, you know, me living in the world? Yes. But, like, that conference was a start, right? It was an igniter, because you had successful Black men on the stage telling you and giving you the secrets to how to be a kingdom man, right? I always knew Deion from, like, sports and stuff like that, you know, the baseball and stuff like that, because I was so entrenched in sports when I was coming up, and that was around the time he was in college and stuff like that. But to hear him say, I never drunk anything, I never smoked any weed, and I always praise God, was like, whoa, like, you know, this thing is done. Because sometimes people think, like, E.T., like, a lot of people think, like, E.T. is a, he's like a clone.
No,
like, it
yeah,
just never
anomaly.
Happens.
Yeah.
It just never happens, right?
Yeah.
But, like, it's men out here that are really like that. But we just don't put ourselves in those spaces to be around those type of men. And whenever that happened, like, when I went to that conference, it really ignited something in me to say, oh, it's time, it's time, it's time to be a kingdom man. And to your point, at that particular time, I started pulling back from the prayer line. I started pulling back from a lot of all these other groups. And that's when I met my leaders that I have in my life now, Chris and Charmin, to where they really follow the biblical principles and the biblical, they really do everything biblically like ET does it. And they were able to walk, they've been able to walk me through so many things. And I'm like, man, like we just had church yesterday and I'm like, I'm still learning, right? I'm still like, I was in there last night and I was like, I'm in here convicted again. So I'm still growing. My heart is still getting matured, to become this kingdom man that I know I should have been, but you know, I can't worry about the past. All I'm back into is forge on the future. But like that conference, like seeing my wife cry and she can see like that I was like the shift was starting to happen in my life. I knew then like, okay, it's time to walk in it. I just didn't know how I was gonna do it. But I knew, like you said, I had to pull back from the prayer line. It was some things I had to see within myself. I couldn't keep hopping on there and kind of addressing how I feel. And I'm just not in it. Like she said, she told me the other day, she watched ET all the time now. She said, I didn't really like them because I felt like you watched them all the time. You were in all these conferences and you weren't changing. Like you weren't changing. Like you were still the same person. And now that she's able to see the change that God is doing in my life, she watches the ET like all the time. Like she said, she don't watch all his sermons. Like she's like, I'm all caught up on all his sermons. Like, because like that conference, and it's so true, man, the virtual does nothing for you. When you go to one of those conferences, it ignites. And when it ignites, you have to get around a group of leaders that can help you physically to get through this thing called a kingdom, being a kingdom man, a kingdom woman, so you can start to live and walk out that life that you're supposed to have and be free in your life and be great and be a great dad, great mother, be a great brother or sister. Like it starts to open that thing up. And man, that conference really was the igniter to my to who I'm becoming today, because I'm like I told you, like I was at church yesterday, and I was still in there getting convicted. My heart was still getting hit yesterday. Like, man, you still got some stuff you got to clean up, buddy. Like, it ain't over, right? So, but that's God. He continues to reveal the things in your heart to show you. You got more. It's more in you that I need to clean up before I really put you where you need to be.
That makes sense. And I guess can you kind of explain what a kingdom man is? I think you said it, but just so I understand that we're on the same page.
A kingdom man is love, man. A kingdom land is me and my wife been reading. I've been reading personally Ephesians 5:25, right? And like headship, right? Being like having the headship of in a family, like leading your wife and your family. It's not a being a dictator. It's not being telling them what to do. But a really a 5:25 husband is he outserves his wife, right? He really like the stuff that ET does, like the washing the dishes, the ironing the clothes, the cooking, like that stuff. That's what a kingdom man is. A kingdom man really outserves his wife. And what he does is also he loves his kids, but he also has the structure to discipline his kids with love and be able to lead them in the right way. And if I'd have had this 25 years ago, and been following the kingdom structure 25 years ago, I'd be 25 steps ahead now. I would have been out of the business, right? But I fell into the world and the culture, and I got behind. And that glory be to God that I'm in a space now where I'm starting to get traction. I'm starting to get, it's moving, right? God is moving me, but I also have to understand God is not going to put me somewhere until he feels like I'm ready. So I have to be a great steward. I have to be a great husband. I have to be a great dad in order for him to put me where he needs me to be, because he has to be for sure that when he puts me where I need to be, that I'm going to handle it with care, because at the end of the day, his name on me.
That's true. You really got his name on you.
Right. Right.
But to your point, I think that's a great explanation, because it's like being a person of service is, I think it's, what's the thing? It says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But on the flip side of that, it's like when someone gives you something like a compliment, you have to be willing to receive that. And not try to be bashful and like, oh no, stop, stop. It's like, no, like if you're blocking someone else's blessings, you're not allowing them to give to you. And I think to your point, it's sometimes it's easy to think like, if I knew this back then, I would be so much further ahead. But it's like knowing what you know now and seeing where you've come from, it's like in time, you'll be able to appreciate both, because then you can speak to people that knew you from before and people that have seen you over a period of time. Because even for doing this podcast, it's like we're probably going on year 5 now. And I was telling you about how it started back in 2019 and going from the what do I do now stage to the, oh, let me try and do this thing that I enjoy listening to. And maybe it gives me another opportunity to be like, okay, I can enjoy my work, but I can have something else. Maybe it becomes a business, maybe it becomes entrepreneur-like, but it's like, it's something else that's a facet of me. And there's like, sometimes there's some of that beat up, like, oh, I wasn't getting it right. Now I get it right. And it's like, yeah, I guess you could be quote unquote getting it right, but just having the experience of life and being part of it, like having the ugly with the good and everything in between, it's like, okay, yeah, that maybe that's what perfection looks like, where it's like nobody's a straight line to a right. point to where it's just like, oh yeah, there's goody two shoes, oh there's perfect, there's let's all figure out what the Joneses are doing, let's just go let's just focus on the Joneses. Oh right. Sally got an A, Johnny got a B, Cindy, you got to see, it's like, what are you doing?
Right.
But to your point, I like that. And I like the fact that you really got to experience something like that. And more importantly, because it always feels like a big come down from an event or like a talk or a presentation that you have live and in person, but being able to go back and actually have people in your life, in your community, people that you can go to and visit, I think that speaks more to the power of community and like a culture you can actually celebrate. Because it's like, it's easy to get hype with what goes on online, but then it's too easy to forget about the people that, like for me, I can go outside and see someone in the apartment complex and try to wave to them, but people are like, nope, I don't know you. I don't want to know you. I just want to mind my own business. And it's like, hey, to each his own. But being able to have this conversation with you and to see that you're finding the right people in your community spiritually, mentally, and that are able to pour into you and you're able to pour back in. That's a beautiful thing, because they're doing something for you. You're able to do for your family. And it's like it's a mutual relationship.
Yeah. It's a mutual relationship, man. And it's rare. I always say, when I was in the world, man, like I'm this guy that comes to the cookout, or I'm this guy that comes to the party and I'm bringing this and I'm bringing that. And then when you finally meet someone like my leaders that outserve you and outdo you in everything that you do, like, you're like, wow, like it's really people like that. But the whole time I was in the world like this, I was the weirdo. I'm the guy that everybody took advantage of, right?
Yeah. It's like everybody's packing a plate and running off with your food. And now you're like, oh, you brought the potato salad and the cornbread and the Kool-Aid. It's like, okay, I like you.
That's it. That's it, man. And like, but really, man, when you talk about even when you bring up E.T., E.T.'s just really, like, he's really living like the Bible. Like he's living like step by step of the Bible. And I think sometimes we get caught up and we say, you know, he's an anomaly. He probably is, but like it is people out here that are really living the principle of the Bible. And you can see, like, and my pastor says this all the time, where are the fruits, what the fruits look like.
Yeah.
And you can really like see the fruits on the people, right? You can really see the fruits on them, and you start to see the fruits in yourself because you have a like you have something tangible. You got somebody you can call and you got somebody you can touch to really mentor you and really kind of help you through this thing of a kingdom, of being a kingdom man, woman, or son, daughter, like really having somebody to walk you through that, man. And it's like I said, my life has changed immensely since that conference. And it was in the United that it was saying, it basically ET said, it's time for y'all to be kingdom men. I ain't worried about what y'all did in the past. I ain't worried about what y'all did. I ain't worried about who talking about you. It's time for you to stand up right now, and you need to stand up and be the man that God has called you to be and stop worrying about what you've done. You need to walk in who you are today, and when you leave here, you need to walk in it. And that stuck with me, man. That stuck with me. And when he stood up and said that, you can feel that the chills went through the crowd because everybody stood up. Everybody stood up, right? So, man, like it was really a blessing, man. It was really a blessing.
That's awesome. And I think to your point of understanding the Bible or understanding faith for that matter, it's relearning or unlearning some things. Because for me, it's like growing up as a preacher's kid, and maybe I'm sure there's a lot of things I misunderstood, but learning how to do something the right way rather than like learning how to do something in trying to avoid punishment and trying to avoid like compulsion, where it's like, if you don't do this, here's the whooping that's coming, or here's this, like you do this or you get that, like here's the consequence, cause and action. But like actually having an invitation, so to speak, like you said with ET, and understanding, for me, I've gone through this podcast called Bema. And it's a gentleman that I think grew up Christian, kind of took on the Jewish faith, but he's trying to strike the balance of explaining the Bible from the perspective in which it was written by Eastern people to an Eastern audience, but saying, okay, we see the things in the West like this. Here's how they see things in the East. And being able to have a different perspective gives you more to the story, to where it's not a constant, is the Bible a science book? Is it a literal interpretation? Is it figurative? Is this like, what do all these weird things mean? Like, why are they talking snakes? Like, what? Why would they do this? Why would they do that? It's like, it's not a bad thing to ask questions. You're actually encouraged to ask questions when you're learning. And like you're saying, being in the environment where you're at, being with people that are serving, that are growing, that are able to share something to open up your mind, is something where it's like, oh, okay, so I don't have to rush to be an adult, to just grow up, to just be like, okay, I know it all. I know this. So long as I can stand on my square, I'm a competent man. I can be this. Like, if anybody comes and questions me about this and I can't answer it, they're all going to find out about me. The imposter syndrome's coming true. They know I've been lying. And it's like, They're going to find me out. But it's like being able to do away with that. They're going to find out about whatever it is that I think that I did, or whatever it is that may be going on. It's like kind of peeling back the layers on that and actually accepting an invitation to become more than what you currently are is, I think it's a great thing, because then you're like, oh, like there's a freedom in this and there's more I can aspire to. It's not just, I didn't just make it to this age and then hope I can make it to my parents or grandparents' age. And then like, by that point, that's it. But it's like, there's levels to it. And it just warms my heart to know that you can do more from where you are, because like you can learn more and it's not restrictive. Like it's not, you don't just sit in a box and that's all you are. It's not just because you talked about God that you got to go and hand out tracts now, or you're not sitting here like Bible thumping somebody and being like, let me tell you what.
That's it. Like, that's it.
Hold up, chill. It's like, we're 90s babies. We grew up in the 90s. We grew up in the early 2000s. Yes. Like, I think someone shared a song on Instagram and I was like, oh, That's a classic. It's like, I know half the words. I don't know half the words. I remember the beat, but it's like, yeah. I'm not going to sit here and like beat myself about like, oh, how dare I remember this song because now I'm saved and I don't listen to this.
Right.
It's like, maybe check your heart before you get all uppity and just like, this, that, and the other. But it's to your point, I'm curious, like being able to step back and like actually acknowledge yourself or look at yourself, like, do you feel any different if you are to join in on like a call or a, like when you go to the service now, like what was your relationship like before like 2022? And like, I think you alluded to actually getting into the faith now to where it's been a like your life has completely changed in the last year and a half.
Yeah. So I was baptized and saved in 2016. Right. But I wasn't discipled, right? Mm-hmm. And me and my pastor kind of been having a conversation around discipleship, right? Discipling mm-hmm. men, right? Because we don't take it serious with men being in the church and why they don't feel good about the church, right? Because churches sometimes have cliques.
Yeah,
right?
And talk about it.
They have cliques, and you know, the women that are in the church, they worship the pastor. Like, let's be honest, right? Yep. And so if another man, because a lot of men are prideful, so when they come in, they don't feel welcomed in the mm-hmm. church, right? They feel like everybody kind of off in their pockets, and you know, they don't fit in. And we don't have, like, as Black men, we don't have a platform to where we can just sit around and have like a barbershop talk like me and you having today, right? Mm-hmm. About how do we get better? How can you help me? How can I help you?
Yeah.
And you know, do you have these resources? I can give you these resources so we can come together and help this other brother sitting over here that mm-hmm. don't have the same type of resources that we have, right?
Right.
And I feel as if like now that where I'm going, I'm trying to make sure that I'm stepping back and making sure that I'm discipling and really helping people come along. I'm not beating them up with the Bible, I'm just giving them like, hey, like I was talking to one of my workers, and you know, sometimes mentally he struggles. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey man, I know your father and your dad, your father and your mom were pastors. I said, how are you dealing with everything? And he said, it's just so much to me. I said, you know why you did so much for you? He said, why you think that? I said, because you're dealing with it yourself. Like, you're not mm-hmm. giving it to God. I said, you know what to do. And you can see the calm coming to his face that, dang, like I've really been trying to carry all this weight in my life by myself, and I'm not going to the Father. I'm not going to God. And like really having those, like I had a conversation with him too mm-hmm. around, I don't know if you ever heard this before, but around deliverance. A lot of people don't believe in it, man. But you know, I was delivered, right? Mm-hmm. And deliverance is really you have people have demons in them. And I say, do you think, you know, you need to go through deliverance? And he was like, I probably do. And I sent him a video to do it on his own so he can do it on his own. But these are the difficult conversation with Black men that we have to have because God wants us free. He wants us free. Right. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be free, but sometimes we're in so much bondage from like stuff that happened to us when we were younger or yeah. stuff that was passed through the bloodline when we were younger, that we have to, as men and women as well, mm-hmm. have the difficult conversations of helping each other become free.
Yeah.
We gotta become free. And that's how I'm that's how I step back, and I'm really trying to live my life to where I'm not Bible thumping nobody. But if I see that you're suffering, I'm asking you questions, and I know you got a relationship with God, and you're still bound by your conversation and by how your mind is. I know that it's something is inside of you that needs to be set free, right?
Yeah.
And I try my best, man, to I really, whenever it's like heavy coming, because I have a lot of heavy conversations. I work in customer service, so
yeah.
I deal with people, and it's a lot of heavy topics that come across my phone, that come across my desk, and I have to really say to myself before people come and sit with me or before I leave the house, it's like, hey, Holy Spirit, like, lead me, guide me, because it can't be me, because I don't have a clue of what to say. Like,
yeah.
I don't have a clue of what to say to help this person through this, right? I'm their employer, like I'm their manager. But at the same time, I know I have a duty. I got a
right.
duty, and I know my task is to help people get free. He didn't put me here on this platform for it to be about me. He put me on this platform for it to be about him, so I can help free his people up. And I really try to step back and not ever let it be about me, and not ever be in a place where I'm Bible bashing or beating somebody across the head with scripture, but
yeah.
just being who I am. And then naturally what happens is just me being who I am. They come to me with the conversation.
Yeah. I think to your point, kind of going back to the subject of headship, I think when you speak, you shouldn't be ashamed to address men, because it's like you and I are men and we're speaking to each other. It's never meant to exclude women, because I don't think anyone generally feels that. But I think there's a malnourishment of men where it's like, you're kind of left off in the background, to where it's like, okay, and the women and kids, women and kids, women and kids. It's like, okay, like the women and kids will be taken care of. But I think the men need to be addressed, because they've been kind of left by the wayside, ignored, and just been like, oh, you'll figure it out. You're a man. So it's like, don't feel bad for speaking directly to men, because it's like, it's okay. I know it's, what do you say? Like, as I'm growing up, I'm learning that as a man, one of your purposes or challenges in life is to endure. And it can become taxing if you don't take breaks, if you don't make room for yourself, if you don't put the mask on, because it's like, you could want to save your whole family, but if you're not taken care of, you might die on the way to getting to them. And now, because you didn't do what you needed to do for you, your whole family's in danger now. So it's like, in trying to be PC, or in trying to be measured, in trying to be methodical, it's like, remember, you fit in the frame of your picture too.
Yeah.
So it's not just because you noticed or identified yourself, that means you're neglecting your wife, or you're neglecting your daughters, or you're neglecting your sons. It's like, I don't, at least that's not how I hear it. So if you feel any need to apologize, don't. At least
I got you.
Just be yourself, be true, and your intentions come through in that. And I think more times than not, to your point, when you were at the 360 Man Conference and your wife is crying because she's seeing the change in you, it's like there's an understanding that, okay, because my husband's in the right place and he's getting what he needs to get, our family will be taken care of. And it's not that stress of, okay, I see you running up and down the street, running across town, listening to this, that, and the other, but it's like, you're not changing. You're the same person. And it's like being able to pull back and to have those reflections, those daily tasks and things that you do. I think it's a great thing to see, because from being away from people and then seeing people every now and then, like, people can actually see a change where they're like, okay, like, this person's been doing something. Like, you've been in the lab, you've been working. And for me now, it's like one of the groups that came off of the prayer line is the M series. So in 2 weeks, we're going to get together for one of the guys' events, and he's partnered up with the Boys and Girls Club, and just a figure in his community where he's very interconnected, and having it as a way to, hey, we're going to show up, support him, and be able to rap because we've been speaking to each other over 5 years every Sunday from like 7:30 in the morning to 10 in the, to 10, 7 to 10. But seeing things like that, it's like, I can show up now because I was able to pull back and pour into myself. And then come November, when the Prayer Wars Global Retreat comes up, that first weekend of November, I'm excited to go there and to maybe pour into someone, but also to just be like, okay, get to get away on the Tennessee mountains for 3 to 4 days and just chill, like breathe, be present and be here. Not like I got to deliver somebody. I got to do, it's like, no, I get a chance to be here. I don't have a wife, kids, things like that, but I do have a mother, a father, siblings, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, uncles, aunts, and they still count on me, I would think, but I've kind of taken away that pressure of being like, oh, I've got to do this, because it's like, to my knowledge, no one's ever asked me to do that. But at least within this year, when I've been called upon, because I took time away for myself, I was actually in a better place to be of help if I needed to be. And if I didn't need to be, at least it's like, okay, I can take this phone call. I'm not in dire straits, because when I needed the counseling, when I needed therapy, I showed up for that. Even if I was kicking, screaming, clawing, it's like I showed up, or my mentor made sure to check in and tap me and just be like, okay, hey, let's work on this. How are we doing here? How are we doing there? It's like, and also other times I would tap in and say, okay, here, I'm actually reaching out to give good news. I'm not just reaching out to say I'm struggling.
Right.
Life sucks. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the week. It's like, hey, I've got good news. Let me lead with this before I get to like, well, this other thing came up. It's like, no, but yeah, I just wanted to commend you on that and to say that I see you making the changes, and I think you're doing very well. Don't apologize for identifying yourself.
Hey man, I really like to see, because I remember talking to you in Augusta, and to see like you even on a podcast, that like, because I know you've always been like this guy that's like, I'm in the background. No, no way. But that lets me know that there is a place for me to be, right? It is a place for me to step out here and be able to like mentorship and show that headship out here to help other men to prosper, man. And you like seeing how much you've grown since I've talked to you back and when you were in Augusta, man. You've grown a lot. And I know like the fabric of you when I was talking to you, like, and we could never get up because of kids and work, but it was like, you're embracing it. And the biggest thing I'm hearing from you now, Asher, is like, you free.
Yeah.
Like you're really, really free, man. Like you're free and you really are like, you've grown and you're continue to grow, and like you're like, okay, what's next, like, oh yeah, I can pick up this line because I'm not attached to these people, like, so I got time to like mentor and pour into you. So like I really, man, I your growth is like, you've grown a lot, man, and you can tell you're walking in your authentic you.
Thank you. It means a lot. And just for me to say thank you is also a part of growth, where it's been, like I was telling you before, instead of trying to be like, oh no, it's nothing. Like instead of trying to downplay it, right, I'm learning to receive it and to allow you to give what you're giving me, to say thank you.
You're welcome, man. Like, you are the model to say you like, because to be a
don't
be
overdo engineer, it now. Don't overdo it.
No, honestly,
I'm just
man,
kidding. I'm kidding.
But like to be an engineer, man, and to say, you know, I went to school for this, and I'm in this nuclear plant, and that really ain't, it's too stressful for me, and I really want to go in another lane and actually walk in it and have your head up walking in it and really trusting in God and walking in who you are. It speaks volumes. It does. It does.
Appreciate that. Well, I got to cut it short a little bit, but let me get you out of here with this question. As the year's wrapping up for you, what's something you're looking forward to?
Ah, man. This year, we're closing, now that we're closing out, man. Me and my wife are trying to buy some land and like get a garden started, and we're trying to do some things to where we have the ability to help the community. Because I know, you know, you're pretty sure you see the news and you see all the things that are going on in the supermarkets and stuff like that. There's gonna be a time where like people that have farms and things of that nature, like we're really, it's gonna be a need for that. And we're really trying to get into a space to where we're able to provide and help our community and try to give back to the community so that they have somebody that can give to them that don't have anything attached to it, to have a hidden agenda behind it. So
That's what's
that's some
up.
of the things that we're working on closing out this year, man.
So let me find out 2024, you out there farming and providing people with meals and everything else.
Most definitely, man. And we definitely gotta connect, Asher, and maybe I come visit you, you come visit me, man, and like we definitely gotta connect. We definitely do.
For sure. We'll stay in touch and make it happen.
Will, man. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Appreciate your time.
All right, no problem.